Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MerlinCast episode 20. This is a very special week. We have five people today. Me, Andrew, Courtney, Rona, Sarah. We're all here. We've all been on before, but Rona's back again from CamelotCast. We were able to get her on again. That's always exciting. And, well, Sarah, it's been, what, a couple weeks since you've been
on? Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, but it's nice to have you back, though.
Thank you.
And it's been a while since we've had everyone together. We're going to cover Season 2, Episode 8, The Sins of the Father. My name's Aaron Millard.
My name's Courtney Catadella.
My name's Sarah Sutherland.
Andrew, just talk. He's always wants to, Andrew always wants to be last. He always does this. Go ahead, Rona.
Oh, okay. All right, then I'll go randomly. Oh. And this is Rona from CamelotCast.
And my name's Andrew Brace.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Andrew.
Hey, man, ladies first. That's all. That's all.
Such a gentleman.
Right.
All
right.
And Aaron, too.
We'll go. We'll go into the news then. A couple things I read. Kelly Wenham has been cast to play Queen Mab in Series 5. Now, I kind of read into this, and I guess Queen Mab is known as the evil sister of the Lady of the Lake. I don't know. Oh, have any of you guys
amongst other things.
Yeah. I don't really know that much about her. Do you guys know more about her character? Rona, are you familiar with her?
Which is weird for me, but yeah.
A little bit. I mean, the first time I heard her from was like Romeo and Juliet when they were talking about Queen Mab, a little tiny fairy. I think Queen Mab recurs in loads of different things, not just in Arthurian legend, I think. I'm not very, very clear. I think possibly, I might be remembering incorrectly, but in the Merlin miniseries with Sam Neill, the main villain was Queen Mab.
Yes.
So I guess it's just...
I did read that.
It could be anybody, basically. It could be anybody.
I think it'll certainly be an interesting twist, because, you know, Merlin has such a connection.
Definitely allows for...
Yeah, go ahead.
It would definitely allow for a lot of flexibility, I think, for what they could do with their character.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, there's nothing really specific on her about her backstory or anything, as far as I know. I could be wrong.
No.
Yeah, it's not something before, though, has it?
Nope. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with her. And then also, Johnny Capps said the other day that Uther will confront Merlin when he returns. They're going to have a conversation that they should have had a long time ago. That's what he said.
Oh, no.
I am excited about this one.
Yeah. Uther still doesn't know Merlin has magic, though, right?
Well,
I'm sure in the afterlife he might know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
I feel like it's going to be magic related.
Well,
and I know
it's
in regards to Arthur, too. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with that. And they did say that he's only going to be on for one episode. So it's not going to be like he's a recurring character.
Yes!
Yes!
I can
so
handle
happy
that.
By that.
That's fine.
And I was right.
Nobody
I was right. Knew he wouldn't be there for, like, forever.
You guys are terrible.
Hopefully,
poor Anthony
Head.
Hopefully this doesn't get back to Anthony Head somehow, but, sure.
I want to write him a letter telling him that I'm sorry that I just hate Uther so much.
He does a good
job. Courtney.
I might just do it and see what he says.
I don't think he'd answer you, but I could be wrong.
No, well...
I mean, this is interesting, since we're talking about Sins of the Father and see if anything else is resolved resolved from this last episode to when he comes back.
Right.
So that might be interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
maybe not.
The two episodes might even overlap a little bit. Maybe he'll bring up the fact that Merlin knew the truth so long ago or something like that. So that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And one other small thing I had on here... Katie McGrath was named Woman of the Year by Anglo fans. I just kind of read an article about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, she's got the
good
respect.
Good job, Katie.
Yeah, good for her.
She's amazing. I give her so much credit. She's just diversified so much as an actress.
Yeah,
I've seen her in like little Christmas shows and stuff like that, but she has just burst out of that cocoon of hers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you guys heard the story of how she got onto Merlin?
No.
Originally, she was like trying to find like a job or whatever, and so she was originally the costume. Like costume assistant or something, and so she's like, I didn't know what I was doing because I had to learn how to sew, and I didn't know how to sew. And then a friend just told her, "Hey, you should just try out for the part," and she did, and she got Morgana. So
that's awesome.
That was pretty interesting.
I know she was the costume assistant on the Tudors. Maybe and then
yeah,
she
I think
an
she was with
there.
A different show. Yeah, yeah, she was. It was. I just know that she was like with costuming, and then she became an actress. Just because she was in the business already.
That's really cool. Yeah. Huh. Okay. So, next we'll move on to Twitter. We have some questions we asked and some responses. The first one is from at Lindsay Bully. Yes. Oh, I say what the question was? I didn't, did I? So that's
no.
We asked,
whoops. Does Merlin... that was weird. Does Merlin deserve a new...
It's gonna be a fun episode.
That's right. Does Merlin deserve a new love interest? And Lindsay Bully says, yes, would be so adorable if he found someone that loved him for who he was and knew everything. Would be jealous, though. Oh, I would be so jealous.
Girl, would be jealous, too.
Yes, so much.
Well, gosh, I hate to think the reaction they're going to get when Gwaine finds someone.
Oh, I know, that's going to be tough for the ladies.
That acting better watch out.
Hard.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that news story, too, because you guys weren't on, but me and Andrew talked about it. They cast Aaron Richards to play Gwaine's new love interest, so... That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Sarah, you want
to
read the next
one? I wonder
one?
If it's got anything to do with the ring on his... Did you mention that? Because he had a ring around his neck.
Oh.
Oh.
I didn't even notice that, actually. Huh. That's interesting that you bring that up. That could be.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Okay. Sarah, you want to read that next
one? So, yeah. At Senjoback or Senhoback, he says, of course he does, which... I think I agree 100% that he does deserve a love interest as well.
And Courtney, that one's from our good friend Patty.
Yay, Patty!
Oh, yeah.
Yay, Patty! Patty TWG says, not really. Oh, Patty, I can't think of a way it would help tell the overall story. Patty, everyone deserves a love interest. At least that's my opinion.
To be fair, though, Merlin already did have one.
Yeah, he did. But everyone deserves a second chance as well, right?
I agree.
Go ahead, Ronan. You can read that next one.
This is from Diane GMZ. Yes, he does, after all the sacrifices for Camelot. And yet no one gives credit to him. He deserves a love life. Smiley face. I don't know, because when Colin Morgan talks about it, he says, well, he's traditionally a loner and he's by himself. But in the legends, he's had a few some love interests here and there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Andrew? you can get this one.
Well, you can read the last two since your first one's pretty short.
Okay. All right. At Thea _17forever says, yes, !RT.
Don't you don't read that. That's a retweet.
That was a, yeah.
As you can tell, yeah. Andrew doesn't have any Twitter.
Andrew.
Yes. No, I'm not Twitter literate. And then after that we have at @KagriStakul. Says he should be with Morgana, which
Whoa.
I've been preaching all along. So, yes, someone of a like mind.
Yes, me too. I'm such a Morgana shipper. It's actually kind of bad, but I really want them to have something.
Unacceptable.
It could have happened in the past.
Yeah.
Hmm?
dislike.
It could have happened in the past, but the moment is kind of gone unless they really
change it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the chance for that's kind of come and gone.
It makes me really sad. Oh, well.
By the way, guys, Morgana Pendragon just followed us on... Just kidding. It's like... It's definitely a fan account. But, cool.
Yay!
Yeah, wow. Maybe she is. I knew she had a Twitter all along. I was always suspicious.
No, I think it's the real one. I'd believe it.
Yeah, I think I made an account one time called Obi-Wan Kenobi, and people actually thought I was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow.
So I could see how it could happen, you know?
Okay. The other question we asked, I mentioned that in just about every series a major character has died, and who do people think it'll be this year? And actually, the response was quite unanimous.
Unanimous.
At Scott Matt said, I reckon it will be Gaius. I don't think he will be required as a mentor as we approach the final series, probably 6. I sadly have the same feeling. You know, it might not be him, but in thinking his days are limited.
If I may, though, I'm hoping Series 6 won't be the final one. I think that's...
No, I agree. I agree on that completely.
Me too. Patty's back.
There you go.
Patty TWG says Gaius. She also agrees it's Gaius. I don't want him to, but it would push Merlin into where he needs to be. And I think we've discussed this before, and I completely agree. I think that it would almost push him into deeper and more profound magic just out of, like, the loss. It's going
to
happen.
Then he has to learn for himself, yeah.
Exactly.
And there's many things that Gaius does hold him back. I mean, literally, Merlin would go do something, and Gaius would be going, no. And he does sometimes tend to listen to Gaius. And the many things that Gaius does that ends up not being the best thing for Camelot. I don't know, maybe it would be good for him to go. And I think it's time, actually, because all the mentors, the father figures, have to die at one point, and they have to be able to stand alone. Yeah,
they do.
Very true.
And, Merlin's always looked to Gaius for so much help, so I think without Gaius, he's really going to have to start doing his own research into the spell books, and he's really going to have to start solving problems for himself, because I don't know how many times Gaius has had a solution for something that Merlin had to take care of, so it'll be interesting to see how he fares on his own. And it's going to be a really sad moment if he does actually die, for sure. Andrew, you want to read the last one?
At Amy Rebecca Grant says, I think Gaius will die, sad face. Which, yes, I think all of us here can agree on this point. So, I think we all loved him in the first few seasons, because obviously Merlin was younger. He needed a father figure without his real fathers. But I think, Gaius's death will eventually give him some critical character development that he really needs to become Merlin.
So. Yeah, definitely. Can you guys think of any other characters that you think may die, or is that what you guys were thinking too, guys?
It's possible that another knight will die.
That's true.
I'm going to put out Gwyn, actually, because it sounds like he's going to have...
I'm going to put out Elian.
Or Elian, yeah. That would wreck... that too, but I'm just going to put Gwyn out there just because it sounds like he's getting a bigger story arc this series. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It would be kind of interesting for this hot-headed guy to maybe even, like, sacrifice himself for... his love interest, whoever the character Aaron will play, and I don't know.
Well, I think that's certainly like a good theory, I think, but also you can only kill off so many prominent knights before, because still, even after Merlin becomes Merlin, there's still so many of those knights that have critical roles and stories in Arthurian legend. Yep. I mean, while they don't stick to it, completely. There's some aspects that those knights, have to supply for the show to keep going.
Very true.
Yeah.
I would say Leon, but he's not a major character.
You know, right, yeah, that. I feel bad for him because he's been on the show since the beginning, and he's always been that loyal knight. And they never really, like, you know, Gawain's had his episodes, and Elyon even had one, but they still really haven't given Sir Leon much of even a backstory.
The thing with Leon, and this is my thing with him, he was always the spokesperson for all the knights, and they put him in because there was no other characters there, and then obviously everyone was a big fan of, I think the cast were a big fan of the actor, and he's a lovely guy, I've met him, and he's really, really nice, but I think there's so many other knights there now. I mean, you have Gawain, Elyon, Percival, so I don't know. I think his time has passed, and they're just keeping him around because everyone's such a big fan of Leon, just because of him.
Yeah.
Well, another thing I think will happen though, and this is why I think a knight will die, is because Mordred becomes a Camelot knight, and so for him to, I think another betrayal would be for him to murder one of the knights.
Yeah, you've seen photos and things.
I've seen the photos. I just didn't know like if. Well, I guess I was hoping it wasn't true, but
that's what I do. it looks pretty true. And it looks
I don't
like
know if it's just for one episode.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, Agravaine was a knight. I mean, I guess, yeah, he was a knight. He had the whole outfit and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. All right. And actually, Morgana just tweeted at us. At Morgana Dragon says, I also think Gaius. But the moment when he will die will break my heart. Poor Merlin. It will be very sad. Richard Wilson, sad face. So, another vote for Gaius. Alrighty. So now we'll move on to the recap.
Yeah.
This is an episode that I chose it because we've been covering some season or series 2 episodes lately. And this one was like probably one of the most intense episodes I feel like that's been on so far, and one of the ones that was really one of the most riveting. So, the sins of the father, and we're going to recap that. So, Courtney, you want to start us?
Sure. Okay, so, season 2, episode 18, Sins of the Father, starts off with more ghosts in, like, a very dark chamber, and she's looking into a crystal ball, because she's really creepy, and I like her. That's just me.
She's attractive.
But she sees, she's so pretty before she gets her face, like, melted. So she's seen looking through a crystal ball, and sees Arthur. And she comments, like, the battle for your soul has begun, and it's kind of a very epic way, in my opinion, to start what's going to be a very epic episode. Then after that, pans to Uther in the royal hall, knighting a bunch of new knights, who I really don't think we ever see again. I can't remember.
No, we don't.
Like, no, they're just disposable, poor knights. And then, after that, more ghosts, like, epically suits up. It's like How I Met Your Mother suits up, except medieval. And I hope people understand that reference. And she goes into Camelot, and she basically slashes, like, a whole bunch of guards and kills them, like, 5 of them. Also very disposable. before she gets into the castle chamber, where Uther is, and, basically interrupts the knighting ceremony. She still has her, you know, knight gear on at this point, still has her helmet on, they can't see her face, so at this point she's just kind of anonymous, and she, like, throws down the gauntlet, so to speak, throws down the challenge.
And literally speaking.
Of, Yeah, literally throws down and is like, what up? So she challenges Arthur to basically a duel, and he accepts it. But he says that, you know, how can I accept this if I don't know who you are, if I can't see your face? So she, like, whips off the helmet, and it's a chick! And everyone's like, wow, mind blown, you're blonde and have flowy hair. So Uther, you know, tries to see if, like, women are not allowed to challenge, but she is.
Typical Uther move, too. So let's see if women aren't allowed to.
I know, exactly. Sexist. Another reason why I just don't like Uther. Ugh.
Hey, Arthur's okay, the same, sorry. I think.
Yeah, no,
very
he definitely
true.
Is.
Yes.
At this point, Morgana's, you know, pretty enamored by Morgos, which is obviously, you know, a big thing for later on. Sisters for life! And then Arthur's speaking to Merlin, and Merlin's kind of like, dude, like, she's a girl, you don't have to do this. But Arthur says, if I refuse to fight her, I'm a coward. If I kill her, then what am I? Because he doesn't want to kill a girl, but he doesn't want to back out of a challenge. And Morgoth has a room of her own in the castle. Just pointing that out.
Yeah, the next scene takes place in that room. It just confused me. I like, why would they give her a room? But,
Yeah, I know.
I think it's because she's a lady.
That's true.
Because they didn't give the other challenging knight that. Like, they didn't
I don't think he exactly needed
Yeah, he didn't exactly sleep. He was kind
of, that's true, because he wasn't like a person, but...
Yeah.
Even though if she had been able to stand out there for nights on end, I would have been even more impressed. But, still. So, of course, Arthur sends Merlin to do it, because, you know, Merlin has to do everything. So he sends Merlin to try and convince Morgoth not to back out of the challenge herself. And so Merlin goes into the room. Immediately, Morgoth has him at sword point. And so Merlin tries to convince her, and she asks why, and she's like, "What?" And Merlin says, because Arthur doesn't have to. And she's like, Arthur and I have something in common then. Neither of us want to. Too bad. And so the next day they go out to fight, and Arthur walks up to Morgoth one last time, you know, overconfident as he is, and he says, you know, one more chance to back out. And he's like, and obviously she doesn't, so he says, okay, you leave me no choice. And so they start fighting. It's pretty evenly matched, and Arthur does knock Morgoth's sword out of her hand and slashes part of her arm, you know, just a very minor cut, and lets her pick it back up, which was a mistake on his part. They fight a little bit longer, and it doesn't take Morgoth very long to knock his helmet off and have him on the ground. And but she promises to spare his life if he will accept her challenge, a new challenge that she has for him. Of course, Arthur wants to know the nature of the challenge, but she just says, you know, you'll have to wait and see. And so she leaves him. She leaves him out there all humiliated and everything. And Merlin's not the only one feeling a little more than satisfied at that point. I'll admit, I kind of like that. But, so Arthur's back in his room gloating. Not gloating. Merlin's kind of gloating a little bit. But Arthur's humiliated, of course, and, you know, Merlin, you can tell he's kind of enjoying it, as Guys points out later on. And then we go to Morgoth's room, and Morgana's just walking in, you know, somewhat curious, and she does find Morgoth. And Morgana again says, you know, I feel like I've met you before somewhere, you know, hint, future sisters. And Morgoth says, well, you know, I'm glad we've met now. And she offers Morgana this bracelet because she somehow knows that Morgana hasn't been sleeping well. And Morgana says, of course, you know, I couldn't take it, but later that night, you know, Morgoth just sneaks past all the guards in the castle and makes it into Morgana's room and places it right at the foot of her bed. And Morgana ends up having the best night's sleep in her life. And Gaius finds out later when he goes to bring her sleeping medicine, for lack of a better word. And so he sees the bracelet, which, you know, obviously he's suspicious because, you know, that's the one Morgoth has been wearing. And Morgana asks him, you know, what's wrong, but he just says, you know, I'm just glad you've been sleeping well. And we go from there.
Uther kind of freaks out, and he won't let Arthur go see Morgoth. And I guess from Arthur's point of view, he just thinks that maybe because Morgoth is a threat to him, and maybe he's a bit more dodgy than she is. And then the very funny scene when Arthur says that Merlin might have picked up a few pounds, and you have a rope magically around his body, which was quite fun, which I quite liked. And very Howard Overman, kind of silly things. And he falls into a pile of poo, which is which happens more than once to Arthur. Uther is now really, really steaming because when he finds out that Arthur's gone, oof, he knows something could happen, some big revelations could happen. So I guess they're walking, Arthur and Merlin are walking through, I think, Senrid's Kingdom? No, it's not Senrid's Kingdom.
Odin's.
Oh.
Odin's land.
Which one is it? Yeah, Odin.
Odin.
Yeah. It was Odin, I think. Yeah, it was Odin.
Yes.
They were walking through Odin's kingdom. So to prove how dangerous it could be, they get attacked by these the bandits or the enemy. Just to show how bad it is. And then later on, Morgana tells Gaius that Morgoth gave her a bracelet to help her to sleep. Another suspicious eyebrow from Gaius over there. And then we find out that Morgoth may be Morgana's half-sister, which is a bit of a revelation to Uther, because he says that maybe the child is dead. But we don't know whether that means he's the one that said that put her to death, or he just was told that she was going to die. So that's a bit ambiguous there, so that's quite interesting. And then we come across a lake, and they go, with the horses through the lake and through the waterfalls to an abandoned castle that we see at the beginning of the episode.
Okay. And so Merlin and Arthur see Morgoth in this courtyard of the abandoned castle, and Morgoth basically tells Arthur to put his head on the block, and she has an axe in her hand. And this is a really, it's a moment full of tension, because before Merlin was asking Arthur, you know, what if she asked you to do something dishonorable, would you still do it? And he's like, I have to honor, you know, my promise. And so he puts his head on the chopping block, and Morgoth, it seems like she's going to chop his head off, but she doesn't. And she says, because you have shown that you will keep your promise to the very end, she will grant him a wish. And previously, Morgoth had said something to Arthur that she knew his mother and that she was a very gracious woman. So Arthur asks Morgoth if she will tell him everything about his mother. And she says, well, I can just show you. I can have you meet her. And so it cuts back into Camelot, and Sir Leon reports that they're not able to pick up Merlin and Arthur's trail, and Uther is definitely not pleased. And it reveals that Gaius thinks that Morgoth has an ulterior motive, and Uther is worried that Morgoth will reveal to Arthur the true nature of his birth. So it cuts back to the castle, and Morgoth is able to conjure up Egrain. And Egrain comes, and she is very urgent in her speaking, but they embrace, and it's a very touching moment for Arthur and Egrain. And Arthur basically is in tears, apologizing for causing her death, and she reveals that Arthur is not to blame, but Uther is to blame. And so out comes the secret of how Uther asked the sorceress Nimue to conjure up Arthur to conceive him by magic. And Arthur immediately sees the hypocrisy of it all, that his father is killing all enchantresses and all people with magic because of his mistake, and he won't admit defeat. And so as they get back into Camelot, Arthur is kind of on a rampage towards Uther. And Merlin is also upset because he realizes how awful Uther is and how much of a hypocrite he is. And he goes and talks to Gaius, and Gaius says the reason he didn't tell Arthur is because he didn't know what he would do if he knew. And it looks like he's right, because the next scene you see Arthur storming in and having a very emotional fight with his father, a sword fight. And Merlin gets into the throne room just in the nick of time, right before Arthur appears to put the sword into his heart. And here's the moment when Merlin makes a decision and tells Arthur that what he saw agreeing was an illusion, and that Morgos is lying and saying that everything is an illusion. And also talking about this is what Morgos wants to turn Arthur and Uther against each other. And so Arthur makes Uther swear to him that he didn't cause his mother's death, and Uther says that he only loved her, and he wishes that she was still here today, but she was not responsible, which is, I mean, the way he phrased it was, he wasn't lying, but at the same time, he was lying. Anyway, so, it's just a very emotional moment all around, and after all of this, Arthur, thanks Merlin for, preventing Arthur from killing his father, and this is when Arthur is like, now I know that nothing good can come out of magic, that all people who practice magic are evil. And of course, this makes Merlin very upset. And then Uther comes and talks to Merlin and says, thank you for being a trustful ally in this fight against magic. Ha ha. And he wants Merlin to be alert for Arthur to protect him, and he just thanks Arthur for being a loyal servant. And then Gaius comes in and, you know, just tells Merlin that he's very proud of him for stopping Arthur from killing Uther, and Merlin says that if he had let him do that, it would have destroyed Arthur no matter what. And so, at the end of it all, Morgause looks through her crystal again and sees that Arthur and Uther are laughing and having a good time, and she looks very shocked and also furious that her plan didn't work. And that's the end of the episode.
I liked Uther when he went in and visited Merlin. I just kind of love how he thanks him and tells him he's a trusted ally. And then right before he leaves, he's like, oh, by the way, if you tell anyone else about what happened in there, I'm going to have you hanged. I'm just like, oh.
I know.
You're welcome.
Uther's such a punk.
I was
going to
mention that, too.
So funny.
For real. Like, I don't know. Two-sided. So we have a couple discussion questions in regards to this episode. The first one here, how old is Morgause compared to Arthur and Morgana? For her to have known Egwene before she died, or is it a lie? See, that's interesting, because she seems fairly young, at least, when you see her. Of course, you know, with magic, maybe they're aging. Maybe she was able to not... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, because, I mean, Merlin's able to switch on and off into an old man, so you never know what Morgause could be doing. But, you know,
I think that she has to be at least maybe, like, 5 or 6 years older than Morgana and Arthur, just because, like, maybe she was a kid when she knew Egwene or something like that, but...
That's possible.
I do think that she's a little bit older. I know the actress is, like, a tiny bit older than... Colin Morgan and Katie.
I think actually that it may be possible that Morgause didn't know Egwene at all, because as Gaius was telling Uther, like, right after she was born, Gaius smuggled her out of Camelot and gave her to the high priestesses of the old religion. So I'm not sure if Morgause actually knew Egwene. She probably knew of Egwene and knew of her compassion, but I think that, you know, might be a lie, but that kind of leads into the next question of, do you think that Egwene was an illusion? Do you think it was Morgause just, you know, making up this lie, or do you think that that was actually Egwene talking to Arthur?
I think that was Egwene.
I personally... Yeah.
Okay. I think it was Egwene, because when the ghost came up, Morgause was listening in, and I thought that she seemed surprised about what this ghost was saying. So if she knew what was going to happen, she would be like mouthing along with the words, you know what I'm saying? So I think that was the actual ghost. Whether or not she knew Egwene, that's a bit, I don't know whether or not she actually knew her, but yeah, I think she was real. Cause she said what was true.
I kind of agree on that. It's just, I think that the reason that she was real is because I feel like Morgause knew something was weird about Arthur's birth, and she knew that, obviously, Egwene knew. So she knew bringing Arthur there, I think, would turn him against Uther, and that was her plan all along. I don't think she really needed to really make a fake Egwene in order to accomplish that, because she knew that the truth might come out. So I think maybe it was all real. But that's
I'm just thinking of.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'll say my point
go
later.
Ahead. Go ahead. Thanks. Well, I think it was kind of half and half as far as her motivations, because I certainly like how what you said, Sarah, the fact that she was smuggled right out of Camelot after birth.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably didn't know Igraine personally. Maybe she heard of, you know, how kind she was and the circumstances of Arthur's death. But I think the illusion of Igraine was real. And just to back that up, in the episode with the Black Knight, Nimue even told Uther, you know, very strongly implied, you know, how Igraine died and the circumstances and the illusion of Igraine. Her description seemed pretty spot on with Nimue's description, so mm-hmm. I feel like it was real.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess Igraine does have like a lot of hatred towards Uther, because she just said, "Oh, he betrayed me. He betrayed us all." I don't know. I thought that was a little out of character for her, because when I think of Igraine, I think of, you know, someone who's in love with Uther, but then going back into legend and how Uther actually tricked Igraine, and that's how Arthur was conceived. I don't, maybe I'm completely mm-hmm. wrong, but I thought it was just...
Yeah, I'd have to imagine.
Yeah. It just seems a little odd to me, but I feel like Morgos did know the secret of Arthur's conception, and so she just wanted Igraine to tell Arthur, because she knew that the only way that...
But he'd believe it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way that he would believe it if it came from his own mother. But just heartbreaking all around. Even if she was, like, an illusion, that's still so hard.
Yeah. So, now we'll go through everyone's, like, ratings and thoughts on the show. I personally, this is one of my favorite episodes in the series. This series, and pretty much in the show in general. I think why I love it so much is because it's one of those moments where Arthur finds out something that really changes the entire show. And something, you know, negative about Uther. We all really, well, not, I don't know if all of us hate Uther, but everyone has some dislike for him. So for Arthur to turn against Uther, I think people actually really enjoyed that. But the scene in the council chambers was so intense. And the whole fight between the two of them, that just, like, you could really just feel the tension in the room just watching the show. And I think that's why I loved it so much. And then having to see Merlin lie and say that it wasn't true, and how much that really broke his heart to have to do that, like, that just, it draws such emotion that that definitely touched me in this episode. So I would probably give it, like, pretty close to a 10. I might have to give it a 10. It was one of my favorite episodes, for sure. Andrew, what were your thoughts?
I'd give it a solid 9.5 at least, because yeah, like you said, a couple very emotional scenes, and I thought that secret was really revealing and necessary to the overall plot. Whether or not Arthur will, you know, learn for real or realize that was the truth, what happened to his mother, and what he was told by the illusion of Igraine, we have yet to find out. I hope he does. But, yeah, I think definitely a very critical story to the overall development of the storyline in the show.
I'll go next.
Rona works.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, no, okay. Well, I think this is one of the episodes written by Howard Overman, which was one of my favourite writers in Merlin, and he writes Misfits and Vexed and things like that. I really like what he does, and he gets, even though he's a writer that's a hired gun for the series, he gets pretty intense episodes. He wrote, I think, The Wicked Day, which was the episode where Uther actually dies and things like that. He dies. And if you go back to what the episode was, because, I mean, the whole, when the trailers were coming, the whole scene, the whole point of the episode was to have that confrontation between Arthur and Uther, and the thing is, sometimes you have one of those episodes where it's all about that one scene and everything is leading up to that, but then the actual episode doesn't really matter at all. It's just like leading up to that story, and I thought it was quite good, because if you head back to the beginning of the episode, you know, you have these what seems like just a random knighting ceremony, but this is what actually shows how Arthur feels, because he is a knight, and he was shown at the beginning as an example of what a knight should be. And when he mm-hmm. was challenged, he had to accept it, and he had to, and then even when he was defeated, he had to make a promise, and he did have to go and with that promise. And it's one of those things that the early series used to do, was have a huge piece of information or development, but then get it reset at the end of it. Later on in the series, it does carry on. But if you actually look at it, at the end, the audience knows more information, but Arthur, as usual, ends up being unawares, and he doesn't really know anything. And he just, aside from, oh yeah, magic is actually bad, and you know, you got to trust your dad, and he, you know, that's what I really liked about the episode. And so I thought it was pretty high up there. I would say probably 8 or 9 as well out of 10. Yeah.
Okay. Sarah?
Cool. Yeah.
Or Courtney, doesn't matter, Sarah.
do you want to go, Courtney?
No, go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. My rating for this episode, yeah, I definitely agree with you. Said Rona, especially about how in the beginning Uther was saying, you know, Arthur is the, you know, prime example of being a knight, and that to me just makes this episode so much more impactful as far as, like, the symbolism and just, like, good writing of the episode. So I'd actually give this episode
and
probably...
And how Uther is not a knight, and how he's
yeah.
not famous, and how he's not the epitome of a knight.
How he's the opposite
yes,
of what
true.
A knight should be.
Totally agree. And so I actually give this episode a 9.8. It is one of my absolute favorite episodes of all time, but I was just thinking about it more today and just thinking about how I really did not like what Merlin had to do for Arthur. I mean, at this point, I was like, yes, Uther should die, and Arthur, you know, should be able to be open towards magic. But, I mean, Merlin is right. It would have destroyed Arthur. So, I mean, writing-wise, this episode has to be, like, one of my favorites. Like, it was so, like, beautifully done. But just because mm-hmm. Arthur thought it was a lie, that was just, like, heartbreaking to me. I remember first watching this episode.
Yeah, but picking up
cry.
When you said,
go ahead.
What you're saying about Merlin and with Uther, and that's one of the things, is that you do see a parallel between Merlin and Uther, because Merlin had the same situation before. I mean, at one point, he wanted to save someone. In the end, it was his mother that was going to die. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting out of that. And then at the end, it could have been Gaius who was the one who had to die so that he could save Arthur by the Questing Beast. And that situation could have gone really, really wrong if someone had died, someone close to him. With Uther, he was stuck in that situation. And, you know, the whole thing was that if Arthur realized this when he thought... Uther was the one responsible. Instead of being blaming himself, he blamed magic. You see how it could have gone a different way. I mean,
yeah.
Like, it's just the way that Uther reacted to the situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. I believe, yeah, like you said, I think because he really didn't have any way of knowing that it was Igraine that would die, but specifically. But so I don't exactly blame him for Igraine's death or what happened. I mean, you know, understandably he wanted an heir and he loved his wife, and I'm sure he didn't want anything bad to happen to her. But his reaction to it and how he went about persecuting people who practice magic is what really makes me strongly dislike the character.
Yeah, and
like
yeah.
That, yeah.
That's definitely why I was having trouble with Igraine, you know, blaming Uther when she was talking to Arthur in this episode. Because I'm just, like, thinking, like, if I was Igraine, like, back in that time period, what would happen if you couldn't produce an heir from your queen, right? You would get another person to carry your heir. So, it's just, like, Uther decided to use magic instead of cheat on his wife, which, in my opinion, would probably...
Which he did anyway.
More honorable.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, he did anyway. That's true. He did anyway. But, for a suitable heir, like, he wanted to use magic instead of, you know, saying, oh, this is the person on the throne.
Well,
so,
to be fair, I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll keep going. To be fair to Igraine, though, I don't think she meant Uther betrayed her in that he used magic, you know, to help her conceive a child. I think he betrayed her in that
he knew
he
someone
used
would
her
have to
death
die.
As an excuse. He used her death as an excuse to go about persecuting so many innocent people. And I think that's what she means when she says Uther betrayed her.
That's true. That's true.
I agree with that. Especially if she is as compassionate as, like, rumor has it that she is.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That makes more sense then. Moving on, though, my favorite actors was a huge tie between Bradley James and Colin Morgan. Just because Bradley, like, his emotion was so raw. Like, that, like, the throne room scene, that entire scene, all the way up from when Merlin had to tell Arthur that it was a lie. Like, that was my favorite scene out of the entire episode. But I was just also really impressed with Colin Morgan's performance of just being able to feed off of what Bradley James was giving. And so he was able to internalize that and make it into an even deeper hurt and even deeper emotion, because we as the audience know the full story. We know everything that's going on in this moment. And it's just both of their performances were just really good.
And you know what? The thing is with Merlin, you know, they joked at the end, Merlin, the trusted ally against magic.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it was said in jest, but in fact, Merlin has done a lot of things to support Uther, keep Uther alive. He says it's for Arthur, and he didn't want Arthur to actually kill his father, because that would have destroyed him. But there's so many things that, Guy says it, that, oh, you should have just let him die, it would be so much more easy for you. And they're true, but I guess because Merlin's a good guy, he's not going to just kill off Uther like that. I mean, the thing is, there's so many times that he's tried to save Uther. I mean, on his deathbed, he tried to bring him back for the sake. But the thing is, Uther is a killer of his race. And there's so many, and there's so many things that Merlin does, in the end, backfires on him. He helps Morgana. That backfires on him. He tries to rescue the baby dragon egg. That will now, I guess, in future, backfire on him again. So there's so many things. This is the episode that you see his actions, though he's trying to do good, doesn't actually have a happy ending. It actually makes things worse.
Yeah. And it was interesting, too.
Yeah.
It was interesting, too. Like, this is kind of foreshadowing. Like you said, Rona, Merlin saved Uther in this episode, but then because of magic, he killed Uther. Well, not really, it was Morgana, but he was like the catalyst of killing Uther in season 4. So it's interesting to point out.
And Courtney, I know you haven't got to say.
Sorry. LOL. No, it's okay. I think that it's really, what I really like about this episode is that you see that Merlin has Arthur's best interests at heart more than he has his own best interests at heart, because, like, obviously Uther being gone would make things a lot easier for Merlin, and, you know, he'd probably be able to, like, come out and wouldn't be so terrified of, like, revealing his magic, but he sees, like, how much the truth, or what at least appears to be the truth, is hurting Arthur. And I think that I give this episode a 10 just because it shows the fierce loyalty and that Merlin has for Arthur and for Arthur's destiny, and even just for, like, his heart. He really cares how Arthur feels. He really cares what he thinks, and he cares about Arthur's interaction with Uther. And even though I don't really think Merlin likes Uther, he recognizes that Arthur does, you know, care about his father. So I definitely do give this episode a 10, a rare 10 for me. Mm-hmm. I think that it builds up. I really did not like this episode at first, like, at the beginning of it, because, you know, obviously it was, like, a gauntlet challenge, and I hate those. But it's fine. Like, I think they're just really boring. But I think that it built into probably my second or third favorite episode, and I just thought Bradley James hit it out of the park. I think this was my first episode where I was literally just like, you are not just a pretty face, you are an amazing actor. And I think, like, the argument between him and Uther at the end is really what did it for me. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Well, it sounds like everyone really loved this episode, which is good to hear. And we did ask on Twitter, did more ghosts make Egrain as an illusion, or was it for real? And there's some mixed thoughts there, too. At LilyMo45 said, I think Morgos made an illusion that has little reality in it. So she actually feels that it wasn't very realistic at all. So That's interesting. Andrew, second one.
Patty, again, says, since she said exactly what Morgoth wanted her to, I think Egrain was an illusion, but with a show like this, you never know. And I think, yeah, that could be, that could definitely, even though we kind of think that Egrain's illusion, if she was indeed just an illusion, her description of Arthur's birth was still pretty accurate, but, you know, like we mentioned earlier, it's still open to interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
And Rona, do you want to read that last one?
Yep, this is from at Barbara63939197, says, I think she was telling the truth.
Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah.
There's loads of Barbaras out there, so you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so she thinks, I think she was telling the truth. Yeah.
Do you
think
Merlin will eventually tell Arthur the truth?
I don't know. I think it will come
I'll
out.
Guys, I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. I think the thing is with Morgoth was that she was, in this episode anyway, she was an ambiguous character. I mean, she didn't kill Arthur, and she just wanted, it seemed like she just wanted Arthur to find out and possibly destroy the kingdom, but what Uther has created. And probably if her plan went the way she wanted, Arthur would be probably a champion for magic. I don't know. Or at least not as horrible about magic as Uther was, but I realize the thing is, you didn't know whether or not Morgoth was a bad. She seemed okay. You could argue either way what she wanted. In the later series, it seems like yes, she just wanted everyone to die and help Morgana do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. At first, I thought she was just, you know, I really couldn't decide what her motivations were, but she didn't seem particularly, you know, malevolent or anything like that. I just thought, like you said, Rona, like, she was just an ambiguous character.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so that was definitely one of our favorite episodes. And then I guess we should move on to segments. Today we're going to talk a little bit about...
I'm back.
And hey, Courtney's back. Basically, what we're going to do, I think we did this once in the past, once or twice. I don't remember what I called the segment, but we take a character from Merlin and match them up against someone from another fantasy, or actually doesn't matter, another TV show, another movie, something like that. And it's similar to, you know, a debate where two people have one of these people and they kind of argue over who would win a fight. Yeah, go ahead.
I think, if I may, I think we called it Merlin Matchup.
Merlin matchup.
I'm pretty sure that was it.
Sounds
wow, Andrew, pulling that out of the
quite
memory.
Simple to me.
I know. Simple, effective.
Now, the second one, I don't know how seriously we can take that, but whatever.
I don't even know who that is, to be honest with you.
It's a death match, you guys. It's a death match.
Or we can do
okay,
what
so
is it?
The first one,
Hungarian horntail or something.
Yeah. The first one, Morgoth versus the White Witch from Narnia. This might sound bad. Honestly, I've never seen that, so I can't really play a part in this. But
unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Do we have two people that would like to do that?
I don't know.
I'll do the White Witch.
All right, so we got Courtney, and who wants
to do the White Witch?
Who wants to go argue?
Who wants
for
to take
girls?
Me on? Come on.
I don't want to, because Courtney always wins.
Ooh, what?
That was her way of saying Sarah's way of saying I want to. Oh, I'm good.
Guys, am I like completely unchallenged?
I think Andrew
come on. Do it.
Step it up, Andrew.
No, I'm not picking up the gauntlet.
Okay, fine. I'll do it. I'll do my best.
All right, Rona's gonna do it. All right.
Yes, Rona.
Okay. Who wants to start? Let's have
Rona,
Courtney.
Nope,
Courtney, you have to go first so that Rona has something to argue off of, since apparently you're the high
reigning
seed.
Reigning champion.
All right, can I 5 seconds to collect myself?
You get 5 seconds. Five.
Wow.
Okay. All right, I'm ready. I don't need 5 seconds. I'm ready. I got this. All right. Well, we all know that the White Witch's main power is that she can turn things to stone by just whacking it with her stick, which is pretty impressive. And I think that Morgos doesn't really stand a chance, especially when she becomes a cripple, of going up against the White Witch, because I think that she'd be, like, turned to stone pretty quick. I think also that, you know, Morgos is not quite equipped to handle the White Witch's little helpers, her little tiny guys. And I just think that clearly what the White Witch did in Narnia is a lot more than what Morgos did in Camelot. Because Morgos didn't even do it herself. She had to act through Morgana the majority of the time. So I don't know. I'm not so sure. I think that White Witch would definitely win, just because Morgos would be a stone. A beautiful statue, no doubt, but still, a statue nonetheless.
Okay. Fair enough, Rona.
Okay, let's see. Well, I guess Morgos will probably beat the White Witch. First of all, Morgos has a whole range of powers. She is, of course, been trained by the High Priestesses since she was a child, as Gaius has said. And she's got a pretty strong vendetta, and she's got an actual cause that seems pretty noble in terms of her race has been degraded and being killed off. And while the White Witch seems to be controlling the land for a while, she did get beaten by four kids. You know what I'm saying? While Morgos was trying to, you know, get back from her whole world has been, her hold is bad and destroyed and things like that. So, you know, she's trying to fight out of that world, while the White Witch is actually the ruler of her world, and is trying to just keep it that way, and trying to have even more power. So I think, you know, and Morgos is pretty good. She's good at manipulating her people, and she's got pretty good plans, master plans, I think. So she's pretty hardcore, and she'd beat the White Witch for sure.
Well, to be fair, right. The person who did kill the White Witch, though, was Aslan. So technically,
it was Aslan. Yeah, it was a lion.
It wasn't
a big scary lion.
Kids. They were actually getting beaten up, but Edmund did break her wand. So I don't know. It could go either way.
It's because Edmund's awesome.
Morgos doesn't need a wand. Okay, Morgos doesn't need a wand.
Exactly. Oh, that is a good point. Oh.
All the White Witch needs is one shot. One shot.
And technically, though, to be fair, the White Witch in the books doesn't need a wand either. I mean, if you go into, like, Magician's Nephew, she doesn't use one. She doesn't even have one, and she's pretty crazy, except for she runs away from Aslan, so that's the only thing. She's scared of lions. So Morgos just needs to have a lion, and she's okay.
So, since we have three spectators on this one, that means someone's going to win. So I think each of us should say who we think here. And honestly, I was, Courtney had a good point, and then once Rona started going into it, I'm going to have to say I go with Rona on this one.
Oh,
boop. Yeah,
it's all right. I haven't lost it yet.
Andrew, okay. You go next.
Well, all right, Courtney, I'm afraid you have been dethroned by a 2-3 vote.
No!
Boom! Well, if indeed Sarah does side with you. But, personally, I think if we're basing it off of Narnia, if the White Witch is able to have her wand broken by a teenage kid who's never fought before, I think it's safe to say Morgos definitely has the skill and the magic to do that and probably kill her afterwards.
And I feel so betrayed.
So I think Rona is safely the new reigning debate champion.
Courtney, to be fair, I would have voted for you.
Thanks, girl.
Sympathy vote, I think.
It's okay.
These boys, can't trust them.
It's okay.
It's all right, Rona. Rona, I would have voted for you, too.
Oh, brilliant.
I would have voted for you, too. You had a very good point.
Oh, thank you very much.
All righty. Well, the next one here we have is the Great Dragon, Kilgara, and Norbert from Harry Potter.
Before we do this, can I ask, who the heck's Norbert?
Norbert was the...
Norberta. Right. No, it's Norberta.
Norbert was Hagrid's...
It's a girl.
Norberta, that's true.
Well, at first,
you're right.
Oh, gosh. That's right. She turned out to be a girl. Darn it.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Friggin' dragons. Oh. You just never can tell.
Emphasis on the A.
I think... Alright. I will... If no one's willing to, then I'll argue for Norberta. But...
I just don't want to debate today, because okay, my I'll mind is really bad. So, Andrew, you can take this one.
Okay, Andrew, right.
Go.
You all can right. be the great dragon, Andrew. You get okay. to go first.
Now, I've never seen Norberta in action, but all I can think of is, come on, Kilgara or Norberta? Which name are you going to take seriously? Let's be honest. Norberta? I'm sorry, I can't even give that any credibility. I mean, we've seen Kilgara, you know, light up whole fields with his fire and, you know, break chains and smash walls and everything. He brought Camelot to his knees, to its knees single-handedly. I mean, I have a very difficult... And he can communicate telepathically with Merlin. I mean, you know, not that's really much of anything, but still, that's just my argument. And to be fair, I have no idea that's who all. The heck Norberta is.
Well, let me tell you something, Andrew. Norberta happens to be a very powerful Hungarian horntail. Now, that is a dragon that you do not want to mess with. Let me tell you, they are very nasty.
Wait, is this the one where they have the tournament and they have to get the eggs? And
no.
No, okay, that's
no.
not
no, no, but...
I'm very
now, granted, there
my...
was a Hungarian horntail.
Yeah,
in
a Hungarian horntail was one that okay. Harry had to fight right. against. So.
Okay. Yes. I definitely think
now, Norberta... Hagrid had Norberta as a baby dragon, and Hagrid thought that he could handle having Norberta around. Now, granted, at the time he thought she was a he, but Norberta turned out to be too powerful for Hagrid, who was a very large man when she was just a little baby dragon. So she was sent off overseas, right, with one of the Weasleys.
That Charlie Weasley. Dragons,
can't remember. Charlie, yeah. Now, I'm going off straight what I know about Hungarian horntails, and that's that they're one of the nastiest dragons there are. And when Harry had to fight the horntail in the Triwizard Tournament, he didn't stand much of a chance, honestly. And I think if it wasn't for his magic and him being able to get his broom out, there was no way he was going to survive that dragon. And Harry was a very powerful wizard. So if we're relating Harry to Merlin and these dragons to each other, I feel like Norberta's just a really nasty dragon, and the Great Dragon's going to have a hard time. Plus, I feel like the Great Dragon's a little too old to handle such a young dragon.
Well, to be fair, though, Merlin is a dragon lord, so I don't think he'd have a problem dealing with either one of them. But
well, that's true, that's true.
even though I just feel like that other Hungarian dragon, you know, was just couldn't even kill a little kid on a broomstick, you know. And I don't take kids riding around on broomsticks very seriously to begin with. But,
oh, my goodness.
You know, I just feel like the Great Dragon, I mean, he's outlived all the other dragons ever. You know, he's the last surviving dragon. So, obviously, I'm sure he's killed a few other dragons along the way. And,
that's true.
You know, and I just feel like he may not, like, you know, obviously they don't have the effects to make him, like, look fair, all flashy and streamy and everything like they did in Harry Potter, obviously, because, you know, it wasn't quite very high budget when they first started with Merlin. But I think he's demonstrated his powers very extensively in the hundreds, if not thousands, of people he's killed. So honestly, I think it's, just his body count speaks for itself.
Well, and right. Another thing to add, according to Harry Potter Wikia, the fact that Norberta is a female makes her more violent and ferocious. So, Kilgara is a male,
yeah,
Norberta
right.
is a female, and traditionally female dragons are a lot worse than
don't mess with females.
Male.
Don't mess
I just
with
feel
us.
Like I just feel like the great dragon would be like that grandfatherly dragon. That would just be like if they fought,
okay.
you know, like,
you don't get any more
room,
time to argue your points, mister. This debate is over.
I'm gonna put
We're gonna
this out
ask
there.
The ladies what they think.
I think Aaron wins. I'm a big Norberta fan.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
All right, I got one vote.
I'd say Norberta as well.
Come on, girls.
I say Norberta
oh, come
as
on.
Well.
Ooh. Rona?
I would say, yes, Aaron, Norberto would win, also because the Great Dragon would probably tell Merlin to save it as well. You get confused.
Oh, that's true, that's true.
If it's to the death, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Andrew.
So, sorry, to be fair, I had no idea what I was going up against here. I'm not familiar with I'm not familiar with Norbertanese dragons, so...
Oh my goodness. Alright, well, does anyone else have any other ideas, or is that... Well, actually, we're over an hour, so that's a good cutoff point. Alrighty, well, now that that debate's over, I think that's going to wrap up the show for us today. Just a few reminders before we go. You can follow us at Merlin_cast, and we are constantly asking all sorts of questions on there and stuff relating to the show and news. So I definitely recommend following us on Twitter. You can go to our website, merlincast.blogspot.com, and all our episodes are on there, our RSS feed, all sorts of fun stuff. And soon there will be a new picture of Andrew, because he feels the picture on there of him right now is not...
It's terrible.
It's just too handsome. It's just too handsome. That's
so now I'm supposed to put one on there of him in a fireman's suit. So I'll definitely be doing that soon. Anyway.
Ooh, ladies, watch out.
That's right. You can like us on Facebook, which really I haven't done a very good job of updating at all. So maybe we
can, I would say do Facebook, because I have no idea how Twitter works.
Well, someday Andrew might get a Twitter, you never know. And definitely go to iTunes, subscribe to us, and please rate and review us. The more people that rate and review us, the more attention we get. So we definitely would like it if you do that. I mean, and hopefully it'll be a positive rating. You never know. And I think, you can email us, themerlincast@gmail.com. And that's a good place to send us questions or comments that are more than 140 characters, because Twitter limits you on that. So, just do what you can. And I think that's about it. Rona, you want to plug CamelotCast a little bit?
Yeah, sure. If you want to follow me on Twitter, @CamelotCast, I mean, I know friends that are going over to France at the moment. So I'll be retweeting them and asking, and you can see all the photos live from the set. Unfortunately, I think the filming is been cut short, or might just be a week over there, so that's quite sad. But yeah, if you also go on the camelotcast.livejournal.com, I've archived all the old podcasts. You can just download it there. And I recommend listening to the Instant Reaction podcast, because they seem to be a bit wild and crazy, and that ends up being a lot of fun, actually. So if you're going to listen to one, listen to the Instant Reaction ones, or the commentaries for the DVDs.
And I think that's about it. Now, I think we might have one or two more episodes before the next series premieres. At least one episode, I'd say. It depends. It's harder with this college schedule to get everyone together, but we'll do what we can. Sunday afternoons seem to be the best, so maybe we can do more. But and then once the new episode premieres on the 29th, we're hoping on the 30th to have a big episode with everyone and cover it all. The only reason I say the 30th is because over here, when the episode comes out, for some reason you can't view it online until like really late on Saturday night. So it'd be pretty crazy if we recorded after that. But yeah. So we got lots of fun stuff prepared this month, and I'm really excited for this new series to start, because we'll have all sorts of new stuff to talk about. Right now we're kind of just pulling on the old episodes, so we'll have a couple more of those, and then the fun begins. So thank you everyone for listening, and have a great Merlin week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.